Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This morning, the man who is arguably the most famous writer in the world. This week, he is back with a long-awaited return to how it all started.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me, as always,
it's Boo and Vanel.
Scary November.
What? No, it's just what people say as they pass me in the street.
Oh, okay. Because you're dressed as a jockey, and you're going to your job as a horse racer for the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
And people are saying, they're booing you because they say nup to the cup. Because
right,
that's the next
right.
major holiday coming up.
In Australia it is. We go scary costumes and then horse murder.
Scary costumes and then we go costumes from
Tarot Cash. All the girlies in their fascinators sipping their pumpkin spice lattes down at the down at the racetrack.
It's a compacted time, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
My name's Adam Knox.
Oh, welcome. Welcome to the show,
and
Adam.
I say that's, no to the co.
That's the horse I'm going to put money on in the Melbourne Cup this year. The horse called My Name's Adam Knox.
If they did that, I would... can you sue a horse? Yeah. I assume that the horse picked their own name, right?
Well, they can't ever have the same name as a horse that another horse that exists. So that's why there's already a horse called Adam Knox.
Yeah.
So that's why they had to get this other one and call it My Name is Adam Knox.
Because they're in the Herg horse racing guild or whatever.
Yeah.
It
was. Yeah. Yeah, they're all on strike
sorry,
at the moment.
We've already got a you need to be
is there a Mrs. Ed? it's spooky season. We've played a spooky game this week.
It came out at the perfect time.
Yeah.
Almost like they planned it.
I was going to watch a bunch of scary movies this week, and I did watch one, which I'll talk about on our bonus podcast, available at patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
Oh, yeah.
But I honestly spent most of my free time playing this scary game, which I'm excited to talk about.
Nice scary game to freak you out with.
Yeah.
Well, just to further hype up this week's Patreon episode, I'm going to talk about watching a movie that was... sold to me as being a scary movie by my partner, and was actually one of the stupidest movies I've ever seen in my life.
Was it Scary Movie?
No,
because
not far off.
It might have been your fault.
Not far off the experience of being told this is one of the great horrors, and it's I didn't hate it, but it's really dumb.
Okay.
It's not really scary at all. It's kind of silly.
Awesome. Jump on the Patreon if you want to listen to us talk about some scary or silly movies.
One of the scariest things in the world of video games to me is, well, there's two options to go for. Which path do you want to choose? One of them is like the, you know, that image of the split fork in the road where one of them has like beautiful, lovely, sunny, let's go there. One of them is dark and awful forest. Yuck.
But is the beautiful one an ironic choice and it turns out to actually be...
You tell me, that's the danger. Oh, one of me can only lie. One of me always tells the truth.
What do you reckon, Tommy?
Yeah. Let's go... Well, you know, we've just come
You don't
out
know
of...
what they are yet.
No, I know. But you're saying, do we want the scary or the beautiful?
Yeah.
Which of these two do you think is in each? There's been Kingdom Hearts or a bunch of people getting fired from Bungie?
Huh.
I reckon Kingdom Hearts is the scary one.
Yeah,
they're
Kingdom
both
Hearts
scary.
Is...
You've tricked the trickster.
Yeah, plot is scarily confusing.
And the Bungie thing is like, well, the CEOs will make a bit more money now, and that's good and beautiful. Depends how you're looking at it.
Yeah, it really does. From the top down?
Yeah. If you live in the evil forest, you're like, this is great. I've got a boat. Yeah. I don't care.
I'm in an ivory tower. I've got a great view.
They're never going to come for me. Bungie, let's go. Sad first.
Yeah, let's get sad out of the way.
Like meals. Eat your vegetables first. They're always depressed.
In what, like the five or six?
So many. There have been so many that we've talked about a couple and there have been a ton more, but this one I thought was... they're all notable, obviously, if you're involved. But like this one, a bunch of people got laid off at Bungie, including Michael Salvatore, who's like been their composer for years and years. There was the guy, Marty O'Donnell, who was like the Halo, he came up with the Halo theme and all of that. And he left at some point during the development of Destiny 1. But anyway, this guy has been one of the things about Destiny. People complain about plenty of that game, and rightly so. But the music has always been a like, hey, the Destiny music got a lot of strings.
Yeah.
Hum a little bit of it right now. Name three of its albums.
I'm getting excited. I'm getting ready to buy some stuff in the shop.
Take my money.
Like 15-ish% to 20% or something like that of the Bungie staff have been kicked out, which fucking sucks yet
this
again.
Might be and naive, but heaps. When we started this podcast, I genuinely was thinking, oh, it's going to be so fun to just talk about playing video games with my buddies every week. I could never imagine that like 80% of our time would be taken up with talking about corporate restructures and patent filings. Yeah. That's like the main thing that we come in here to discuss.
It's that, that classic thing they always say, do what you love and you'll hate what you love.
This one I think was, I don't know about the others, but this story I thought like it made a point of saying like, Bungie are making money hand over fist. This is not a cost cutting for like revenue reasons.
Right. Destiny does well for them. And of course they would say that it of course is, you know, they need to do it or whatever would be their line. But like the player base of Destiny has maybe shrunk a bit, but they make a lot of, but so they've pushed back the next Destiny expansion and Marathon is the year after now.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And it's just more and it's across like all of every industry basically is my understanding. Like, we're going into a recession everyone racing in their warthogs to try and get to a fucking job.
There was a story during the week about Nintendo in Japan. Their employee retention rate is like, what was it, like 98.5% or something?
Somewhere around there, 98.2, I reckon.
Japan's national average is already quite high at 70%.
Right.
But yeah, as we were talking about in our chat, like even like 1% is so insane, even just factoring in people like having to move away or step away or change careers or whatever, even
kids
with those
are
things,
gonna live
that's
somewhere else.
Yeah, like dying.
Yeah,
like,
even that's.
I don't know if that would
low.
Be counted in the statistics.
Actually,
to be fair,
it's, you're right. I think retention rate,
the unemployment rate in terms of the human race, is at something like 7,400%.
Well, but it depends if whether on your deathbed with your dying breath you say "I quit." Or just like right as you're about to be hit by the bus, you go, just for any bystanders, you just
can't
yell out,
fire me.
Let my boss know I left, I quit.
I wish I could have worked more.
I want to fuck up that 1% for Nintendo. I quit.
It is quit. It's it's about new hires versus resignation. So, that's insane.
And there was a story that I read attached to that when they were in, when they weren't doing so well, all the higher ups like took pay cuts because they just went, well, this is the only way to get out of this and get ourselves back on top is to keep these talented people that work for us.
Dude,
it's not for us to keep making the same money and push people out.
People often blame a lot of the things that companies do wrong with like, ah, well, it's just business, you know, hey, that's the way businesses work. It's not. You don't have to be a fuckhead just because you are in a corporation.
Right, yeah. And if you're up the top and you own your house, hey,
you're right.
You can take a little less money for a little bit. Mm. That's all right.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
It's as easy as that.
I mean, hey, Miyamoto, get on our Patreon.
Even we don't have a 100% retention rate. Remember we had to that we hired that guy, Graubins?
I haven't heard from Jimmy the Lightbulb in a long time. I think he's still one of our Patreon tiers.
We've had a few resignations in the organization. So,
if someone
you know.
Can do the, if someone can get an Excel spreadsheet going and do the maths on what our retention rate is of comedy bits on this show, let us know.
We're in a deep, deep recession here. So that sucks, and it's hard to lose your job, and it's shitty across the board for all the people who are there.
Yeah.
There's more. And also, yeah, it seems like a lot of the I don't remember the specific people, I'm afraid. So I'm afraid. It's Halloween.
Well, yeah,
but
I don't remember the specific people.
It's like a lot of the old Bungie people is my understanding of a fair number, and like QA teams and stuff like that who are
Anyway,
the people who are running the the currency sales shop are all there. The people who are encouraging more purchases of gun skins, they're all getting promoted, I think.
Everyone who's from a work history of gambling, if people have casinos in their LinkedIn, you can bet that they're staying at Bungie. The people over at Kingdom Hearts, though.
Well, yeah, so we've gone down that dark and gloomy path.
Yes.
I don't know if this is has ever been a part of that meme, but we've gotten down there and we've been like, this sucks. Yeah. It's really unpleasant. Mm. Let's go back to that fork in the road and maybe rethink that decision.
Now you're doing the car meme, turning off of the highway into plenty of room at Kingdom Hearts because they're fucking making some, it's a Pokemon Go style thing?
It kind of sounds, when you read about it, like it's Pokemon Go.
I don't believe it's
developed by Niantic. Right. I think it is different people, but in the trailer, it looks more like a traditional game, like an action RPG that has GPS elements in it. So I don't know. It looks a bit more involved than just like, here's a map of where you live and if you walk down the street, you'll be able to bash up Donald Duck.
Right.
It looks a bit more like a fully fledged game that I guess is being influenced in the background by GPS-based things.
You'll be able to tell who's playing it in the street by looking at people who are looking at their phone going, what the fuck? What does that mean? Who's that?
A few furrowed brows on this train. I know what that means.
Lightyear bad guy.
What happened to Squall and shit? I thought they were in this.
You know what would rule with this game? Mm. Imagine they should actually do this. You can walk down the street and you can fight with Goofy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, it's got GPS. It's on your phone. It knows where you are. What if you step into Disneyland?
They're all there.
Imagine that. Yeah. If it's like the app just goes, it's like hitting it big on the Queen of the Nile.
Yeah.
It just pays off big time. You just get some like mad bonus for walking in there.
That is a smart way to get more people to go to Disney World.
Yeah, people
which
are,
they're really struggling.
People are really off Disney World. You never hear people wanting to go there.
Yeah. But that's, in the spirit of the game, that's the promised land.
It's extremely Kingdom Hearts to have some weird fucking thing like that. It's got one of the most normal names they've done in a while too. Missing Link, it's called, right? And I think you said just before, like it'll tie into this overarching story in a way that's bizarre and crucial.
I think you said that.
Did I?
Yeah.
No, I said that I read someone else say it.
Right. That was me then. You read me write it down. On.
Unless, okay.
Fuck, the storyline of this episode is quite confusing.
Guess what? I'm Tarzan as well.
Oh, no.
That's why I'm not wearing a shirt.
I'm not into Kingdom Hearts enough to really. But the trailer looks cool. It's like a different main character. It's not your, what's his name, Sora? It's a different little fella.
Yeah, cool.
I like the
philosophy of it potentially not just being like, walking around and finding something at the end of your street.
Mm.
Like taking that technology and being like, well, what if there's a less annoying way to implement it?
That's the thing. I don't quite understand what it's for then if it's not for, like, what other uses could having GPS in a game even have?
I guess maybe it just is like literally traveling between areas. So you're in an area, you play your game, you do your you find your items, you do your battles, and then it's like, oh, we need to go to X area. That's 4 kilometers away. Up you get.
Okay.
Won't keep you up. Uru.
Yeah. So you got your step counter, you got your Pokemon Sleep app. Everything's going to be mediated through a property now.
You know what I wish was better? The Pikmin version of the like Go formula that they did.
Yeah, what was that called?
Pikmin Bloom.
Bloom.
Just never quite landed for me, which,
We talked about a few weeks ago that Monster Hunter one. I haven't looked at it again, but it was cool.
It was more of a gamey game. I mean, this one sounds like it even is even more of a legitimate game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that one as well, actually, yeah.
Speaking of Monster Hunter,
ooh.
Capcom, we're just in regular forest now. This is just plain.
Okay. Just a nice.
Just German-looking forest. That
German?
Kind of, well, actually, those are the worst. Yeah, that's where you get eaten by a witch or whatever.
No,
yeah.
It's got to be a meme. I'm sorry. It's got to be a meme. We're in a nightclub. I'm a hot girl. You're screaming in my ear about Monster Hunter.
Yeah, this is the meme is you're the boyfriend. I'm your girlfriend. You've got your arm around.
Oh, right, yep.
I'm saying let's just talk normally. Tommy, your head has turned around, whipped around to the other girl who says, bring up fucking memes as
thank
a mid-30s man.
Late 30s, thank you.
I had another fork in the road that I politely screamed my car into mid.
Thank you.
I'm actually in my W30s. My 30s aren't mid at all. Yes, they are. Anyway, Capcom have, there were the rumors around, like when TGS was happening, that they've got a big game coming out before March of next year that will sell millions.
This was on the girly show from 30 Rock?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, it was.
Oh, wow.
Tracy Jordan said that there's no announcement, though, at TGS of Monster Hunter. So everyone was like, oh, I guess not.
Mm.
And then Capcom, I think someone out of Capcom said, which makes sense, a business can't speak, but a person said that they still have a massive game that will sell millions that's going to come out by March.
Okay.
People assume that that's got to be Monster Hunter because they seem very confident about the millions thing.
Yep.
Which, like, I guess it could be Devil May Cry. What has Capcom got on the back burner that they've not? Because they've done a bunch of Resident Evil stuff lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. It won't be another one of them, probably.
Is Devil May Cry that big of a seller, though? That's always struck me.
I think
me
Five
as
did
a
all right.
Slightly more niche.
Yeah, I think it would. I think it'd be a fair.
But
like
for them to go
bank.
Millions, you know, they're real high on it, and not that they're ever going to be like, we'll put out a game by March and it'll tank.
Yeah. But that's exactly it, right? Like, you're not telling your shareholders, like, it'll go okay.
A new Mega Man.
Yeah. That one maybe, I don't know.
I don't know if that's a safe bet for millions. Yeah, maybe.
It's been, it's kind of been too long that it would be.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter's the safe bet.
Mm.
And
because what's the, so the last one on multi-platform?
Well, Rise came out on everything eventually.
Oh, okay.
And they finished, though, with their, like, Sunbreak updates. So, yes. And they're due for, because that was, like, a second team to the world team, I believe.
Yeah,
Which was, and it was developed for Switch, so even when it came out on everything else, it's, like, not quite up to the level of fidelity that World was. So you would have to assume if there's a new one coming, it would be not for Switch and for now. Yeah, PS5 and...
And PC? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
that
presumably.
Switch 2 is what they're hanging out for, that if it's going to be on that, they want to announce it with that.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it could just... Most likely thing is at the Game Awards, they'll announce a new Monster Hunter.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where, if I were a gambling man, I would play Destiny a bunch and then put my money on that.
Because it used to be a Nintendo exclusive, right?
No. It started off on PS2.
Oh.
That was the first Monster Hunter. Then it was on like PSP and shit for a while. And then Tri was on the Wii.
Right.
And then it was on Nintendo stuff for a bit through to 4 and like Generations and Cross, Double Cross in Japan and shit. Mm-hmm. And then World was the big multi-platform one.
Right.
Yep.
And now we're today.
I kind of love that they're just like, they're not really tethered to anything in particular.
Yeah,
they're like,
oh,
the Switch has sold really well. We'll make one for the Switch.
Oh, right, exactly.
I think Nintendo had some money in that one as well.
Yeah, okay.
Mm. Was maybe what happened. But yeah, that's cool. That I like it when games get announced and dropped within moments.
You're right. I don't like this 6 years late
hype,
time
waiting.
Yeah.
Well, because there's another thing of like, there might be a Zelda game coming out by the end of the year.
I saw that.
Probably the like Wii U versions of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess,
right.
Just like Metroid Prime style. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the direct, and they were available
some,
right
like,
now.
Some like Japanese industry analyst was like, yeah, there's going to be a new something Zelda related before the end of the year. It's like, brother, it's November.
Yeah.
And apparently this guy's been like Switch Pro tomorrow for like 4 years.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's
just because he's an analyst doesn't mean he's analyzing things correctly.
You can analyze something in any way that you want to.
That's right.
Exactly.
I reckon there's going to be 100 Zelda games come out tomorrow. I've analyzed the situation, and that's my conclusion, and I'll take my reputation on it.
Well, it could just also be, remember they did that...
let me take that back.
Remember there was that like Crypt of the Necrodancer spin-off thing that was Zelda? It could just be something
what
like that, like a
was,
skin for like an indie kind of thing.
It was like ZR2023. And people think R means remake. It probably means remaster.
Yeah.
Or it could be Link to the Past in like the... I don't know how much of this is just people guessing as well. Link to the Past in the style of how they did Link's Awakening.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
That also seems like a thing that they would have They're not going to just drop that over. That's not going to be like a shadow drop thing. That would be in a direct that...
Don't know. The remasters seem like the most likely.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They're just in the style of the Metroid Prime thing. It's
and
like,
people want
it's
them.
Up now.
People are really keen for that. And so people even though that Wind Waker HD version fucking ruined the look of it, looks disgusting.
Really?
Oh, I hate it. Because all the shadows have been done in more of like... It looks like when someone makes like one of those like, this is what Mario would look like in Unreal Engine 5.
Oh, yeah.
And it just looks like fucking shit. It just looks like...
Yeah, and it's like, no, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Right. They'd put more
They would finesse
into the
it a little
style.
More than this. Yeah.
The shadows and shit look terrible and I love the look of that GameCube one, so I'm extra invested in it.
Okay.
What if the remaster is just a remastered version of the HD one?
It will be, and it'll that'll suck, and it'll be $100 or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And you'll buy it.
Yeah, and I'll buy their dual screen system that's coming out soon. That's the other patent. You're gonna love this, Tommy. You'll love talk about patents,
my mate.
Nintendo patented a dual screen console that you could remove the screens from one another and they act independently.
Yeah.
So it's like if you imagine a 3DS. And then you could take off the DS part, and that became like a Wii U pad.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the
and it was bigger,
I think, but like the size of a Switch.
Yeah.
So if it was Switch,
or
second
a Switch
screen,
two.
Take that Switch off, and you got a second Switch.
That's why, and you call it the Switch 2 because there's two Switches.
Mm.
Fuck.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got maybe like part of the when it's in the dock in TV
the most,
mode.
The most literal people there being like, we've got to make a Switch 2. all right.
Let's rearrange the words.
Double the...
Well, this dual screen Switch, back in our day, Adam, we used to just call this owning two Switches.
Well, I still do. The Wii U is a dual screen Switch.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I could see this being, if it's like in the dock... And you're playing it in TV mode, you detach one of these screens and then you've basically got the Wii U gamepad functionality.
And then it's maybe got like another shit kickstand so you can still do it on the go. Or you can have them stack on top of each other. So
yeah, I wonder.
Fuck, that's actually awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This doesn't really track with a lot of the other stuff we've heard about it. Because what always gets pointed out in these articles that report on these patents is that often... Companies have an idea and it doesn't necessarily mean that this is the thing they're actively working on.
Right.
Now. No. They've had the thought.
If you come
and it's
up with a new technology, you patent it.
Yeah, let's file this now and then so we might no come back to it in, you know, 7-8 years
they're
or whatever.
They're not fucking Wallace and Gromit just making shit for the fun of it.
Yeah.
No. Do you reckon he patented those, the trousers he bought off of NASA or something?
Right.
But like the thing, he bought the trousers.
The toast thing.
He didn't make the trousers.
He bought them from NASA.
Yeah,
they came in a box,
they're
didn't
they? They're ex-NASA and he like reprograms them a little.
Yeah.
Huh. But I don't remember that.
Yeah, he just buys
them. I don't
remember
seeing the NASA sticker on the wrong trousers.
I think it's a metal plate that he screws off or scrubs out or something.
I thought he made them.
Nah.
Stolen valor.
He made is, the toast stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, putting him into the trousers, all of that's him.
He had the idea of wearing the trousers.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's a Wallace original.
No, but you know, like the thing that like lifts him, you know, like all of that.
He's
gets
got
him out
the
of
fling
bed.
Out
yeah.
of his bed stuff
yeah.
and all
yeah,
of that.
Yeah.
That's
actually the bed. It's just like one of those hospital beds that has a
right.
He's done
and they
nothing.
Don't work. So he got it out of like the 60s Batman, didn't he? Didn't they have something where they slid down a tunnel?
Yeah.
It's a bit Get Smart as well, I guess.
Yeah.
There's not been any new inventions since Get Smart.
And we're still waiting on the fucking shoe phone to be a reality.
That's where I keep mine. Doesn't work very well. People complain they can't hear me. Anyway,
that's
they
I keep mine
that.
When I go swimming at the beach.
I agree
call
with
it
you.
Going Get Smart mode.
I agree with you that it will not be the Switch 2. Because also this is way too soon to when that is surely releasing for them to be filing
sure.
a patent
yeah.
now.
Well, I think it was filed a little while. But it just also seems it doesn't really track with what we've been hearing about it. Mm. It could be cool, but I also would rather them just stick the court, like play it safe. Mm. Just make a more powerful version with better controllers of the thing that you've got.
Watch it be the case now.
Yes,
but
exactly.
It is the thing. But and speaking of patents, which we love to do here, Rockstar patented some animation technology that
do you
is.
Do you want the actual name of it? There's like an actual funny little name of it.
Okay, Grand Theft Auto 6.
That's it.
I believe is the name.
It's called. It's called. System
Tumblr, right, on Tinder. God, I couldn't remember any of them.
You went from Grindr to Tumblr Grumbler. To Tinder.
I'm on my own app called Grumbler.
Grumbler. I want to find someone to complain with. No sex.
Fuck, that sounds awesome.
No commitment. Just we sit and we vent about our lives.
That's Twitter.
Yeah, that's Twitter. That's called having friends.
Yeah.
It's called System and Method for Virtual Character Locomotion.
Nice. Okay. By Kylie Minogue.
And it's essentially
Yeah, nice.
It's essentially for NPCs, and it would basically regulate. It would mean that their kind of the movements and the way they react are different in different types of weather, and just sort of responding more to it's the environments that the are example, around them.
Yeah, the example they give is like, imagine someone walking, but they're in the rain and they're sad and they're injured.
Yeah,
and
it's for all characters, including like playable characters.
Right,
it's, yeah.
They just make small components of animations that then can be
fluidity
of movement and changing pose to pose.
Yeah. I remember people talking about a really similar thing. I guess it was Euphoria, which they did use in GTA 4 for people flopping around and stuff when they were knocked out. Mm-hmm. But
like ragdolly sort of stuff.
But originally, like in an Indiana Jones game that never came out, the plan was that he could punch real naturally.
Okay.
So wherever he was and wherever the Nazi was hanging, he could punch him. And people would be like, that might not be the best way to resolve this. And then a few years later, they'd be like, actually,
it's great.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's the bare minimum.
Yeah. So obviously people have been mucking around with it, but apparently the Rockstar one is good, but it wasn't included, I assume, in any of those leaks that came out because this is the first we're hearing about it.
I guess, yeah.
Leak still would have been, I would imagine it's the kind of thing that they're not putting into that prototype, which was a little while ago now.
And yeah, like this there were wireframes and shit in that leaked stuff
that
as well.
That does sound cool, and like part of Rockstar's thing is wanting to make their worlds feel as immersive and realistic as they can possibly get them. You know, all the stuff in Red Dead 2 was about the different size of the horse testicles and how they move.
I don't remember that being the name.
That was a headline.
Was it a headline
in the lead up to the game coming out that they would like react to the weather and they would.
Oh, I do remember move, that.
They had their own set of physics and everything.
Yeah.
Someone walking along like slightly more hunched when it's raining because they're trying to shield themselves. So I can see that being the sort of thing that they're super into.
You can like generate an animation of someone like putting their hands in the air going, look at the size of those horse balls.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Wallace and Gromit, the finger shake thing.
Ooh, if that's an option to make everyone react like Wallace. Yeah. Because like, you know, ray tracing was like the last probably big thing that was sort of industry wide.
The one that people had, like, talked about.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Because there's a bunch of stuff, like in Alan Wake 2, there's mesh shading.
Right.
Which I don't fully understand, but it lets you have more triangles.
And I guess, like, the Unreal 5 engine? Yeah. Like, had a big emphasis on facial animation and detail and stuff.
Yep.
But tech's improving all the time.
Yeah. Ray tracing it was spoken about a lot, but, like, A, unless you have a really powerful PC, or B, unless you're willing to run your PS5 games, you know, at 30 frames per second, it hasn't had a massive impact. It's really just like a luxury sort of item, if anything.
I found myself in a conversation the other day where a friend of mine came around who I hadn't seen for a while, and he was talking about the size of our TV.
Sure.
And he was like, oh, it's pretty big. And my girlfriend was also like, yeah, it is too big, isn't it? And I was like, well,
that's the first time you ever heard us say that. I was like,
I hate to say it, I'm starting to think about getting a new one. And she's like, we don't need a new one. And you know, when you're in a conversation with people who aren't tapped into the same kind of stuff, which I'm, you know, I think you especially will understand this, Adam. Mm. I'm like, I'm starting to get to a point where there's the odd PS5 game where I go to turn something on and it's like, your TV doesn't support this.
Yeah.
And it's fucking me off. Mm. And I was like, I'm not saying I want it. I'm not saying I'm going to get a bigger one. I'm just saying it's been a few years. Probably time. It's starting to get that little bit of like warping in at the sides of the screen, where when the screen is completely white, you can just see the like you can see that like fog at the side, and I'm like, maybe it's time for an OLED. Maybe it's time for like just the smart TV features work a little better.
Yeah,
get that 120 hertz.
Variable refresh rate is good.
All that stuff. I'm like, if you're, it's like a, it's just a little part of my brain that if there's like a bit of a menu that I can't access. It just sits in the back of my head, and I'm like, I'm living half a life here.
You know what you need to do is make that part of your brain much larger and refuse to ever let a doctor diagnose why it's so large, and then you can live the real life.
I like that the idea of getting a new TV that is slightly smaller, because I think we all still have the same roughly TV.
I'm not using that one anymore.
Of course.
I recommissioned it into a happier home.
Yeah, but like it's
gone to a farm.
Yeah.
It's 65 inches.
Yep.
And like I live in a one bedroom apartment. Like it takes up so much like
real estate.
It does
take up, but I just don't have that part of my brain. Well, like when I'm in front of it watching something, I like watching a movie and it taking up maximum like, visual real estate.
What else are you going to put there? Fucking air?
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares?
Yeah. Especially in the layout of our, like you guys know the layout of my living room. It's just like, well, I mean, it is in front of a window, but it just looks onto a courtyard that gets absolutely no natural light whatsoever.
And if you don't like the look of the TV, guess what? You can put anything there.
Yeah.
Anything you can imagine, you can display on that thing.
Well, and also
so
it's nice
have
because
a little creativity.
It blocks the window that looks onto the courtyard. And that then means that when Cupid goes out there to do his business, he gets a little bit of privacy because we can't see
him. You're just watching... Cheers. I don't know what you
watch
there.
That's a good way to sell it to your partner.
Yeah. It's, my girlfriend's like, when are we going to think about having kids? I'm like, when I've got an OLED, okay? When I've got an... We take care of the 120 hertz refresh rate and then...
Don't bring up your kids in an LED world.
Yeah. I want my kids to respect me from the minute they enter the house. I want them to know that this man can provide for
my
me
over
time.
My child's first words are going to be a number and a letter, and that kid is saying 4K, probably 8 by the time they're old enough
I am always going to be watching Bluey in the highest resolution possible.
I don't want the other kids at school to tease me for having a small TV.
My kid is going to have an early memory of me yelling at them to turn off smooth motion on the TV.
It's not what the director intended.
Well, my friend who...
we respect the director's intention.
I hope my friend doesn't mind me telling this because he does listen to this. My friend who put me on, who gave me the heads up about that TV. It was on sale at... it was like an end of financial year sale at JB.
Yeah, yes.
And if you remember, I bought it but when I was in between houses. I was staying with a friend.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And so I bought that TV and then that was the domino effect where then you guys got the same TV.
Yes.
He was seeing someone and they came around to his house and they were like, Jesus Christ, this TV's a bit big. And that kind of got in his head and then he sold it and he bought a slightly smaller TV.
Wow.
And then like a couple of weeks later I was like, oh, how's it going with that girl? And he's like, oh, I ended it. Like, why'd you let the TV thing get in your head if you were thinking you might end it at some point?
TV back, bro.
Because I had the exact opposite thing where I walked in and saw the size of that TV and I went, sick.
Yeah I'm going to fuck Tommy.
I'm thinking about, not to talk too much about TVs.
Hey, they're the thing you look at to play a game.
It's crazy how little we talk about TVs, given that they're a fundamental part of the gaming experience.
I think we got it slightly wrong with that TV as well. There were better ones at the time, too.
Yeah,
right.
It was cheap, though. But
it was a good deal. And also, like
inches.
I said...
You're doing okay.
And I think I was going up from like a 30-something maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like it was a big... I'm thinking about the high-quality projector.
Oh, bitch.
You get rid of the space.
Trying to do that onto a window.
But they're expensive for the good ones.
Yeah, I know.
You're really talking more money to get what a TV can do at the same price.
You know what's... Every now and then, I do this bit with Lauren where I'm like, have you... You haven't said anything, have you genuinely not noticed? And she's like, what? I'm like, I got a new TV in here when you were at work the other day. And there'll always be a beat where she's like, really? I'm like, see, you wouldn't even know. I'm like, yeah, I got one that's like a few inches bigger. And she's like, really? I'm like, see, you wouldn't be able to tell anyway.
But you're not.
I'm going for 90.
No, you're not exposing her lack of TV knowledge or deductive reasoning. You're showing the trust in you that she has that you're betraying
you're gaslighting.
Every day with
your
bit.
Yeah, that's it. On the forums, we call it gaslighting.
Yeah.
Well, I take a long time to say betraying. Yeah, no, I don't know that'd be cool, but fuck, they're pricey.
Mm. This episode of Filthy Casuals is once again brought to you by our dear, dear friends over at Manscaped.
Hello, Manscaped. Please come right in. Open door policy.
That's our dear. We are friends of them.
Yeah. They're going in the fridge. They haven't even asked because they know it's fine.
Oh, yeah. They're our Kramer.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they're better.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're better groomed. They're less hairy. Oh, that's
man.
For damn sure.
What could Kramer have used more than a few lessons about language and the beautiful...
I don't like this that Kramer, the character, gets dragged into the crimes of the actor who portrayed
Not my fault. bunch of grooming products would have done the man well. And
that's right.
The better place to get them from is Manscaped. That's yeah. your location to go. They make beard hedger.
Yes.
It's for hedging your beard. Self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. They make lawnmower.
Yeah.
Now, this is where the naming pattern breaks.
Yeah.
That is for trimming downstairs, ideally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, yeah, they've decided that the pubis region is where your lawn is located. Uh-huh. And they've made something to mow it.
Well, they should have saved this name because, like, you think about mowing the lawn, that's out the back. So they should have named the lawnmower for when they make a butthole hair trimmer.
Look at this guy who's never heard of a front lawn.
Well, not everyone has a front lawn.
Not everyone has a back lawn, bitch.
I reckon there's more front lawns than back lawns.
I reckon there's more back lawns.
I
reckon there's more back lawns.
No front. Chance.
In Australia, we're big on front lawns.
There's more front lawns globally, would be my guess, than back lawns.
By the way, the copy Manscaped sent us this week said, can you guys please get into a fight mid-ad?
Yes. We're reading it verbatim. Well, whatever the case, there's a whole bunch of... ear hair out there, and you can get that with the ear and nose hair trimmer.
Yes.
There's all sorts of great products that Manscaped make. they currently
we use
them.
We genuinely use them and we endorse them.
Yep.
They're my favorite grooming products, my favorite hair trimming products I've literally ever owned.
Yep.
It's the reason that we continue to work with them. Wouldn't, if we'd used them when they were shit, we would have felt too guilty and too shameful to continue
happening.
This partnership.
Yeah,
we use them. They're my favorite too. And my favorite thing when purchasing something is to get a discount.
Yeah,
the best.
Here's
that's up there for me.
A sneaky little way you can do that.
Okay,
is by using the code FILTHY when you check out. You get yourself 20% off and free shipping.
Yeah,
that's such a good shipping. Is always the one where I'm like, oh damn. Of course. Someone's got to bring it to me.
Yeah.
Not now.
They
shoot it from a cannon.
It's Halloween.
It's not.
It was.
20% off of free shipping from Manscaped. If you use the code FILTHY, I recommend you do. But might be worth it to look at a good-looking game.
I think it might be.
Such as... a good-looking game that's come out recently called... it's so funny that it's called this. Alan Wake 2. When at the very start of the game, it does big, like the big letters with the title.
Oh, that's right,
and
yeah.
So the whole screen is taken up by just Alan.
Yeah.
For a second.
Okay.
Fuck, it's funny.
This is worth buying a new TV for.
Imagine.
A few extra inches of Alan.
Yeah.
Don't mind if I do.
Partridge! So yeah, this is Remedy's latest game. Remedy, the developer of Control and Alan Wake.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan Wake, American Nightmare, and another one?
Quantum Break.
Oh, yep.
And,
oh, yeah, because that guy's in this one.
Max Payne 1 and 2
right.
is there, which they're remastering currently and working on a sequel to Control and all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
They're very busy, and they, in my opinion, have put out something pretty fucking cool with Alan Wake 2. I really enjoyed myself with this.
So you finished this bad boy?
Yeah, it's... an extremely, like, Kojima-coded, like, story-focused survival horror game that has a really strong sense of identity that the like, sincerity with which it plays that and the tongue-in-cheekness that isn't, like, winking at the camera going, like, isn't this stupid, but is going, isn't this a bit of fun, is the fun type of self-awareness that I think this contains.
Okay.
That all of that atmosphere that it has of, like, just really... I don't mean this in a negative way, into itself, a really, like... self-assured like presentation and story and everything, it really pulled me in.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's very similar in its like in its high points to something like the second and third Resident Evil games. It has a bit of that sort of
The remakes of them.
Yes, the remakes. That sort of exploring an area, unlocking a thing with a new item that you've found, and backtracking and getting your, you know, collecting your ammo and your extra things.
So I haven't gotten to start this yet. I also haven't played one. Okay. Maybe explain a little bit about what this is, because I'm sort of a little in the dark about exactly what you're doing in this.
You're in the dark.
You're going to be right at home.
Yeah. I'm awake.
Alan Wake 2.
Yeah, that's a little Easter egg for those for those eagle-eyed viewers at home.
Only the Rick and Morty viewers will get that one.
Yeah, one big Easter egg in Alan Wake.
It's awake. The sequel to Alan Wake, which came out in 2010, but it is also, like, look up if you're just jumping into this. What happened in Alan Wake 1 and in Control.
Yeah.
So it's the same, it's a shared world.
It's a shared world. In one of the DLCs for Control, it already kind of brought in the Alan Wake stuff a bit.
Yeah. AWE?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is an altered world event.
Yes.
And also stands for Alan Wake expansion.
Mm.
Letters can do anything.
So this is on some Sesame Street shit.
It is very much following on from the story of those, which is, I suppose, a quick setup for them is fine, because they're all Alan Wake was a writer who goes to this town called Bright Falls. It's very Twin Peaksy sort of thing. He gets, it's like a sort of creepy town, and they've got this thing called Deerfest on. He's going there to get away from writing. He's got writer's block, and he's like a tortured genius writer type of guy. Gets roped into this thing where the lake contains a monster, basically, that will suck you in there and make a dark fantasy world that is torturing you. And all of it for him is based on, he's a writer, so the most important thing in the world is writing, and this monster feeds on art.
Okay.
And so, it is able to use the art that people make for it to alter reality.
Right.
Is like a broad thing from Alan Wake 1.
And there's sort of totemic items that are very metaphorical that interact with these dimensions.
And so
stuff.
They tie into Control, because they're the objects of power from Control.
Right.
Where you remember from Control, it was anything that is a stereotypical representative thing. But a yellow taxi.
Yeah.
A really telephone looking telephone. The telephone you draw could be an object of power. And so in this, it's in the first one, there was a light switch that was a big one, and there's a lamp that's attached to it. And you've got Alan Wake there and this new character, Saga Anderson, who is showing up. She's an FBI detective who is showing up because there's been a murder, a ritualistic seeming murder.
Okay.
And her partner, who is Sam Lake, the the guy who made the game, and is Max Payne's face.
Yeah, it's Max Payne.
Max Payne is
it's
here.
It's so odd.
And he's in it as Max Payne, but they've had to change a name because they don't own Max Payne anymore.
Right.
So he's called Alex Casey now.
Yeah.
But it's Max Payne's Payne. In witness protection.
He's yeah, I guess. So Alan Wake wrote crime novels about Alex Casey.
Yeah.
So
okay.
He is real in the dream world.
Yeah, okay.
But then also this person who is her partner in real life is Alex Casey and looks exactly like him, and he's like, I know the jokes.
Yeah, I'm a detective called Casey. I've got
the same name. It's like you meet a secret agent called James Bond, and he's like, it's just a coincidence.
Yeah, except it's not in this, because it's everything is sort of a meta reference to everything else.
And so when does the Kojima kind of stuff come in?
So Sam Lake is very much in this. His name is all over it. He is acting in it. It's got real world footage of filmed actors.
Oh yeah, I really liked that in Control.
Yeah.
And that's all happening more so in this even than in Control. Like there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Because Quantum Break, I don't think I ever played it. I can't remember. But it had a TV show basically attached to it.
Right.
Yeah. I remember that about it. I'd never played it though.
Right. And so that sort of it's a mixture of, and the graphics look so good.
Yeah.
That usually when it goes between the video and the gameplay, you obviously can tell a difference, but it's a smooth transition.
I even thought that with Control, and I think it's the way they sort of layer that presentation with shadows and echoes and stuff like that.
It's done cleverly where when it goes into the filmic stuff, it's usually through a transition through literally a TV or something, and it's done really well, and I think it's directed really well.
Yeah.
It And so you go through these two characters at different points, and then at some point in the story you can kind of switch between them and do their stories in the order you'd prefer up to then a bottleneck point where it's like, now wrap them both up.
Yeah.
And it's you're doing like sort of a, like Ben said, a Resident Evil modern ones, wandering through, shooting at enemies that is in a quite a stiff feeling, but like I think satisfying slow paced combat thing.
Okay.
Where you have light, they can't go in.
Yeah.
And they get damaged by your flashlight or stunned by it, so then you can shoot them with a gun.
Right.
A much more traditional way of killing.
Yes.
Sounds like Luigi's Mansion so far.
Yeah. Kinda. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And the story unfolds. I was
really expecting to be shot down for that comment, not be met with unanimous agreement.
100% correct, honestly, Tommy.
Wahoo. And yeah, it goes through this like mystery story.
Yeah, in like a series of like segmented areas, basically.
Okay. Yep.
Chapters that have like an ending song at the end of them.
Oh, cool.
And like no credits. It doesn't go as far as credits. I almost wish it had.
Yeah.
Because it just brings you to a screen with that's a pause with a song playing like it's a TV series.
Well, that's where you've been too Kojima-pilled to expect credits to be rolling every 15 minutes.
The fact that it's almost doing that though, it's fully, and it's very and the mystery is like there's clearly stuff going on with every element of this. So Saga, she has this mind place, she calls it.
It so annoys me that, because I think at the start she's like, it's not a mind palace, it's a mind place. I'm not that pretentious. Like,
yeah.
I think it's more pretentious to like make up your own name for it.
Yeah. It's also,
and it's kind of just a menu, really.
They both have like a menu area they go to.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just them looking around at, here's our, this is, the TV things we've seen, you can go and look at them in the menu. Or, so for Saga, there's a big case board where she's drawing red string between photos and stuff, and she's FBI trying to figure stuff out. And then she's got, she can look at people's profiles and kind of has these, like, imagined conversations with them
them
out.
Yeah.
But it's clear from the start, like,
overhearing their thoughts, basically. Yeah.
Like, the first one you do, the person's like, how did you know that?
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's more going on, obviously, to everything.
Right.
As
right.
you go through, and it elaborates as you go through. But it plays with, like, well, what's real and what's not. And I really like the way, I don't want to give away any of the story, but the way that it uses those mechanics by the end and, like, the stuff that it's doing with those story to, like, with the very heavy-handed, metaphor of, like, this dark presence that's very interested in your work and maybe makes you doubt yourself,
right,
and all of that stuff. But even if it's heavy-handed, some bread, you got to pound the dough, right?
Oh, brother.
So like the way that it uses that stuff by the end, I thought was so cool and just like a good time. It's having a lot of fun sinking into this genre and like going full balls to the wall. I love it when the balls
they're
are on the
slapping
wall.
On that brick wall.
If they're there, on that, I'm there too.
On that dough. Yummy. That's how I want my pizza dough kneaded.
Just fully, going for it.
Yeah, it's fully, more so than like so many games, it commits to a style that is like strong and creates a distinct atmosphere that is all encompassing. It really, every element of it is like, yeah, we're gonna have actors who are voicing these characters. We're gonna model the faces on them. Mm-hmm. We're gonna put these actors in some live action stuff. It's going to comment on itself doing that, you know, like,
yeah, because I remember in Control liking it in spite of the fact that it's the sort of thing that should really annoy me. That like it should be so immersion breaking as a technique, because it's like, well, you're asking me to believe that this is a real person, but then that's an actual real person right there. So I can see that this is just a polygonal model.
And it's doing that sort of stuff and being aware that it's meta and all of that, but in a way that I didn't find grating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's got so much enthusiasm and like heart and character to it that It isn't cynical in the way that meta stuff is like a cop out often.
Yeah,
it's tied into what the story is.
Yeah, and like the themes of the story and everything in a way that is a lot more thought out than just going like, I'm in a video game or whatever.
Yeah. And I think it pulls off the mixture with live action because it is genuinely incredible looking as a game.
Right.
Mm. Like the game environmentally looks like photorealistic in some parts, like especially that the city or the dark place, but like it just looks real. The forests and stuff obviously are a little bit more gamey, but that's because, you know, like animals and shit don't look real in games.
Yeah, they look fucking top notch for a game.
Yeah, exactly. Yes,
I'm going away this weekend. I might have to download this onto the Steam Deck and get a beautiful 4 minutes of playtime out of it with that battery.
Apparently, it sort of runs okay on the PC too. People were worried about it, but it's actually pretty decent.
Right.
On the PS5, which is where I played it, I played it in the high resolution 30 frames. Yeah, mode, right. So good. The some of the reflection stuff looks shit. They've had to clearly, like the mirrors kind of don't work, and some of the lighting stuff is a bit weird. And it's only super noticeable because the rest of it is really looking good. Right. It's a little buggy at points too. Like when characters are opening doors, their wrists don't know where to fucking go.
Yep.
And like there's some stuff like that, like on the map, instead of saying like whatever the actual in-game title of a point of interest would be, like box or whatever. It would say like box underscore not open underscore whatever, like just some bits and bobs like that.
Yeah,
that'll be smooth over, you have to imagine, pretty surely. Soon. But
sure, and I think it has been patched since it came out for the PS5.
And they've said it's got like a bunch of planned updates that will have story content in them, and there's a couple of expansions as well that will be paid but also free story stuff. I don't know how it's gonna work.
I found it a little, I didn't find the controls as I found him a bit of an impediment. Certainly compared to that other survival horror-y stuff that I played recently, but is older, this was a bit... And I remember actually people saying Control had dodgy controls, which I didn't agree with, and I found it... Maybe because there was like dash moves and you had those powers that
were flying around
the place. Yeah, where I just like sunk right into that. Whereas this, because it is like a tense game where you do get some... Oh, and there's like a jump scare every 10 minutes and sometimes it's every 30 seconds for a period. Like it's really like it has a great atmosphere and it's spooky and it's creepy and the imagery is great, but it also does that thing of just like, oh, I'm walking down a corridor and then the full screen is a like skull screaming at me.
Oh, I hate that.
Walking down a corridor. I didn't mind that, just because the thing that it is doing is like this evil presence who is just trying to go fuck you all the time.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I just hate that sort of stuff.
It definitely scared me.
It didn't bother me, but a lot of people as well in the Patreon thing have been like, a lot of jump scares, and I'm not about them.
Yeah, and I think I didn't mind it because like I think I've had the experience recently maybe with a couple of like movies and games that were meant to be quite scary that didn't scare me at all and just left me a bit like, oh well. Then it didn't have the effect it was intending to on me.
Especially compared to like Resident Evil 4 this year, which isn't scary.
Yeah.
But isn't really going for that in the same way.
Yeah.
But then I think controls and feels a lot better to shoot.
Yeah.
And this isn't going for that in the same way. This is stiffer and you like some of the enemies when there are some that dart around and they're kind of hard to keep track of.
Right.
But it's sort of the point, but it is also like, well, even if the point is that, oh, I can't aim at you easily, it's still a little... frustrating.
Is it going for a bit more of like a naturalistic, like how a person moves around? Because
it's almost,
Leon sort of darts around in, you know, it's like it's meant to be,
he's an
sort
action
of real
star,
life, is very like cartoony in how he moves.
Because when you're Saga, you're in the real world. When you're Alan, you're when he was trapped in the dark place.
Right.
And the way it functions well in that for me, because that is meant to represent a living nightmare.
Yeah.
And so the feeling of like, oh, being not quite able to move
I have to run to catch the bus, but it's like I'm underwater.
I'm naked, it is that. Like running underwater and feeling like you're like literally dodging shadows.
Right.
Which feels deliberate in the dark place bit, and then maybe doesn't translate quite as well when you're like, but I'm in the real world in this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There is a, the,
but you're fighting weird demonic enemies, but yeah.
There are a couple of boss battles. Even like the first one I found really frustrating because I felt like I was like there's a dodge, but it's not a great dodge. And it's not like you can't just keep dodging. Like you have to like lock into how it wants you to play it a bit like, no, you got to dodge once and run away and you, which you figure out, but it's not super intuitive. It does initially just feel a bit like, yeah, you're running through mud a lot of the time.
It's very survival horror style though as well, of like that old fashioned type.
Yeah.
Whereas it plays like a more modern one but has that feeling of the older ones where you're kind of like, oh, fucking overwhelmed at times.
You got like a double tap to spin around. It's very Resident Evil. Like and like even, the, yeah, those remakes, which I only played, I think, earlier this year, even they, you're a bit more responsive and stuff than this, which I guess it's, I don't know if it's just a limitation of Remedy because, yeah, people did have that complaint with Control. And I had that complaint when I tried to play Alan Wake Remastered. I literally was like, this is
too stiff.
This, I didn't enjoy the act of playing.
I guess it's also Capcom have that engine that they use for everything and Remedy are like, they're getting to a point where they're cranking them out a bit more, but they're still pretty, you know, their output is like taking them quite a few years in between each thing. So
yeah. I don't think that it's bad. It's just like, because I enjoyed it most of the time.
Right.
Like the combat was I wasn't like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, at any point. I was like pissed off at how many times I had to replay the first boss. But yeah, so I'm like 12 hours in, so I'm like really close to finishing it. And at this point, yeah, it's fine. And you get more weapons and you get more things that make it a lot easier than, and I was like low on ammo and with that first boss.
And once you've got it.
Yeah.
And I will say as well, I didn't love the, so you have a few sort of open areas where you can go hunt for other side stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't find myself doing too much of that because it like just wasn't that interesting to me. I don't think the stuff that was there, like I did some of it, but I didn't have the thing that I often have with games where I'm like, well, I have to do all of this. I was pretty happy to, but that's also because I was really propelled forward by wanting to see more of the story.
Right. That's interesting because I have been doing that and I'm not as into the story. And I think it's all the stuff you said about the story is it's from Twin Peaks.
Right.
Like the atmosphere, the small town stuff. I think I've got no spoilers in this. I wrote a list of things that Alan Wake has taken from Twin Peaks.
That it is doing with awareness, where it's like,
yeah, because
this is
like,
Twin Peaks cross the X-Files.
Yeah.
Yeah, cross True Detective story. Season 1, yeah. But it's just that there's so many. So it's set in a Pacific Northwest small town in a pine forest. The FBI come in to investigate a murder. Mm-hmm. There's a helpful local sheriff and some goofy deputies. The local area interfaces with a creepy alternate dimension.
This is also Scary Movie 1 so far as well, by the way.
Well, yes, that and Scream, I think, are also inspired by Twin Peaks.
Right.
A character is trapped in an alternate dimension for a long time until the long-awaited sequel is released. Mm-hmm. There are hints and messages to the murder investigation that are conveyed through dreams and visions. Electricity or light is a force that can interact with enemies or the alternate dimension. Characters often disappear into thin air, sometimes in small-town sheriff's offices. There are mysterious portals in the forest. What was the other one? Oh, in Twin Peaks The Return, every episode ends with a musical performance, which, I mean, it's like, it's just like the end credits kind of in this.
Yeah.
And it is evoking a TV show.
I like what you say about the character being trapped in another dimension until the sequel coming out a long time later.
Mm.
If they did that deliberately, if they like could have cranked out two, like 2 years later, and they're like, no, well, we got to wait
We've
out.
Gotta
we
got
to wait out and see what Twin Peaks does.
Yeah.
Half-Life Opposing Force is the other one that needs to. Yeah, I think all of that stuff is like then, with awareness, though. Like, it's, I don't think it's that.
But
like,
I think, well, so like the issue is not that it's like bad. It's that for me, I'd already seen all of this stuff.
It doesn't have the same
in
impact
one
as,
package. Yeah. I'd watched the show where literally all of these plot beats and the setting and the character archetypes were in and loved it. Like, it's a great show. Mm. And you would probably enjoy it, Knox.
I think so.
If you enjoyed Alan Wake, because... But yeah, it's like, well, there is a lessening of the impact of those creative choices because I've seen them in the thing that they're in. And there are other, there is other stuff in this which is like interesting.
I love the way it overlaps with Control. It doesn't feel like a shitty, like, oh, we need a universe. It feels really deliberate and like a creative decision.
Right? I like the sound of that. I like too, like the, we were talking about Sea of Stars and The Messenger and how they're going to... They're supposedly set in the same world, even though you wouldn't know it to play them, but they're going to bring out some DLC that kind of links them together, and I hope they do it a bit... I do feel like the whole thing now of like the shared universe in movies is sort of... tends to be a bit clunkily done or very sort of, you know, cynically cash-grabby, callously done of like, oh, we make this thing and then we make it so that you have to go and see five other things. But seeing this threaded through in video games a bit more, it's just like this elegant overlapping of things that do sort of
the
stand alone.
The way it's done
cool.
here too, I agree with you that it's like a little tiresome with some things to be like, okay, everything's a shared universe. Mm. And this, like very early on, you see like a little forest station that has the Federal Bureau of Control logo on it, and I found myself being like, oh, sick.
That's
the alarm goes off on it and you're like, that's the alarm.
Works better with games. There is an assumption of like, if a game is good, there will be a sequel or there'll be six sequels, you know. It's just like, it's less gauche to be like, yeah, well, this game's gonna have a sequel. Like, you know, movies, you know, like if you had a David Lynch movie and it's like, hey, Mulholland Drive 2, and then the Mulholland Drive the squeakquel, like it's different to that.
Or if someone in fucking, I don't know, in a more recent David Lynch movie was like, what road are we on? Mulholland Drive. Nice. And that was it. It's
even like in the, I remember like Link's Awakening on the Game Boy, one of the items you can get in a shop is a little Yoshi toy. And being like, oh, that's cool. Right. I don't quite get... So wait, they're video games in this? You know what I mean? Those little things where you're like, there's just that bit of overlap that in your head you're like, oh, okay, they all sort of exist in the same realm somehow?
I think it's done really well here. The one overlap that I think is a little weird is that this is set in small town America and also just Finland.
Yeah.
It's just everyone is like from Finland.
Well, because Remedy's
they're
in
Finnish.
Finland.
And so like... I don't dislike it. It's like cool for them to be like, but actually, you know what? Let's have some Finland stuff in here because that's where we're from.
Yeah, and it kind of suits the, it's like an aesthetic for a specific thing in the game, not just like the town, but something else that is in the game that is part of the plot that is like, oh, this adds a sort of mythological element to it that I've really liked.
And they do sort of explain it in a way that I think happens more in America than here, where it's like, well, these people from Finland moved here, so then more people, like, it's kind of got some bits of like...
Like in Pennsylvania, like there's Dutch country, like it's, there are large elements of European.
That
and
does kind of sound
it's
like...
It's cool, like it, I liked those bits of it where, like, I don't know heaps about Finland.
They're
like, guess what? It's fucking magic.
It does.
It's really scary.
It does kind of seem like they've stolen the big twist from the end of There Will Be Blood when he goes, I'm Finnish.
The big twist.
Yeah, that big twist.
I was where from at the Finland.
At the end of the movie.
I'm Finnish.
He says he's Finnish.
After he's...
I'm a Finnish man. I've abandoned my boy.
Oh, goodness me.
I really just enjoyed how silly this game is at the same time as being like, no, but like the devil's here or whatever.
Yeah. And so that was one of the things from the start you mentioned that is very Twin Peaks. It is a weirdly funny show about a horrible murder that is something that they've, pretty well translated to this as well.
Yeah.
This sounds a lot like, you know, people always say, the big thing people always say about Kojima is Kojima needs an editor. This kind of sounds like that. This is Kojima with an editor.
Sure,
at 15 to 20 hours.
There's a lot of stuff thrown at the wall, but it is like honed down pretty well.
But each of those things that's thrown at the wall isn't making you just watch something for 40 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
For an overall experience that is 150 hours when a lot of that is just... yammering on.
Yes. All of the ridiculous liberties that it does end up taking are serving something about the characters.
Yeah, as well.
Like, or at least, you know, trying to.
And
I think it worked. And just all the, like, the the I want to talk specifically, but I'm not going to. I don't want to spoil it, any of it.
It's a great, like, as much as, and certainly, yeah, before, there is a point I felt where it cohered into its own thing as opposed to a mixture of references.
Mm-hmm.
Where up until then I was like, oh yeah, this is, yeah, this team that made a game that I love, Control was like my game of the year that year.
Mm-hmm.
They've just kind of like made a pastiche, and it's a bit hollow. There is a point where I feel like they've thrown enough different things into the pot, and it starts to congeal together into some kind of soup that is tasty.
By the end, too, I think if you're about 12 hours in, I'd say you're maybe 2/3.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. It keeps its momentum and I thought like nails the ending.
Right.
And has, you know, they've already said there's going to be more story stuff or whatever. But it's a really good time. If you're going in without having played the others, though, I cannot emphasize enough, this is not making any apologies for being a direct sequel to Alan Wake and to Control.
Yeah,
so enough to go and watch a decent recap of them or whatever.
Yeah, I watched a recap of Alan Wake 1, and by the end of that, I was like, I don't know what any of that meant.
Right.
But having had some of the touch points helped, and obviously, you know, playing all of Control helped.
And a lot of the story is about them being like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like,
to be like, you're meant to be on the back foot.
This is a strange, mysterious thing.
Yeah.
The mysterious thing. I want to run away from you.
As much. So all the little live action vignettes that you get and like the transitions and things like that, I thought were cool. There's a couple of like proper scenes where I was like, oh, these are not live action actors. These are voice act. Like, I feel, like, because the main guy, he kind of looks like a mixture of like Jake Gyllenhaal and Keanu Reeves.
I think his voice is being dubbed onto him as well.
Yeah, right.
I think I felt like I could notice that a few times.
I think you're right, actually.
Which makes him look a little odd.
Yeah.
I thought the guy, because even some of the characters, but I thought Saga was really good.
Yes. I haven't seen, I don't know if there's live action of her up to the point I'm at, but her performance just as the game character, fantastic. Yeah. One of the better ones in recent years, up there with your Last of Us 2.
And it's such a gamble, I suppose, to take, you know, a game that's literally named after the protagonist and go, by the way, there's a second protagonist who's actually sort of the main protagonist now.
Yep.
Like Metal Gear Solid 2 or whatever with Raiden, but I think it works really well, and I like found myself more interested in her side of the story.
Yeah, me too.
Than Alan Wake's.
Me too. That point where you can choose who to play as, I've consistently played as Saga.
I think that's a good way to structure it too, how things kind of progress.
There are some pretty, and I saw a couple of the patrons mention this, and I should read them out. And I will.
Okay.
But I agree.
I love just a little battle with yourself that just resolves nice and easily.
That it's pretty cheesy. There are some bits in, so, like, I guess the Alan Wake bits, some of them, there's some voiceover that's meant to sound like you know, written narration, like it's in the book.
Oh, sure.
But some of it is very, like, there's a bit where you get chased by the dark thing and you go to find safety and then Alan Wake goes, the dark thing is gone. It's safe to go out now. And then you walk out and then he goes, now that the dark thing is gone, I can go down that tunnel. Or I could go down that tunnel. Which it's like, what kind of idiot's writing that as voiceover narration or first person perspective in a book? And it's just like that hand-holdy thing of like, yeah, what the fuck do you think I was going to do? I've seen the tunnels open. I'm going to, you know.
A lot of concessions. There was like a bunch of discussion for some reason on the internet about like yellow ladders and stuff like that.
Where people
are like, why do they have to put these in? And they're like, you don't understand how fucking stupid some people are.
Right. Totally.
So like it is a concession you have to make in a game where it's like you can't have full creative freedom at any point because you have to at some point get the person to do the next thing.
Yeah. You know? And I felt like, weirdly, it either had these really direct ones or I got lost, or not lost, but I
this is a great thing to follow up that right with. What kind of fucking moron do you think I am? Where am I?
The balance was off because like some games, I guess like Resident Evil, again, it's just a good comparison for me having played those kind of semi-recently, the game design and the visual design would lead you to something without you knowing it. Mm. Like, that is the good version of it, is that subtle design. It's not a yellow ladder, but it is like the room designed is a design in a layout so that you walk in the door and you're funneled towards this. Whereas some of the bits in, certainly the start of this game, I was just running around a forest and then it would be, I'd look it up in a like a guide and be like, oh yeah, it's just in this thing that you walked past, or you already opened it and it was in the corner of the box.
Yeah, that can sometimes be a big one, isn't it? Where you're like, well, there's, when you look it up, it's like, oh, it was the thing that was so easy and obvious that I didn't even think to do it.
Or
I thought it was trying to funnel me to something else, but it's like, no, the door's just there.
There are a couple of times where it sort of won't go forward until you've gone into like the mind place and done the putting the cases on the wall, which is a little straightforward. So I'd find myself just not wanting to do it that much. And then when you do it,
but yeah, I think that actually was one of the things, like very early on, you need to get something out of a thing and take it somewhere. And I was like standing at the thing looking over it and it was like, oh, no, 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 no. You had to go and put this clues on the board.
And it doesn't trigger until you've done that. I think I had the same thing.
Right.
And there were a couple of times I like pulled up the map to be like, wait, where am I going? But like didn't find it as disorienting, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, so for me, it was either like there were no clues or it was the guy telling me, like, walk down this hallway that is the only hallway you can walk down. But let's get
into the Patreon feedback. You can get onto our Patreon, patreon.com/filthycasualspod. And we do a call out every week, or certainly when there's a big release. Yeah, when there's something big that a lot of people seem to be playing. And we read out some thoughts.
We certainly
do. I don't know if there's that many people playing Alan Wake 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little light on.
Craig.
But it's a big time of year as well.
It's exactly, coming out at the tail end of an already stacked year.
Craigie says, I'm only 8-ish hours in, so I can't give full thoughts. So I'll skip to the next one. So far, I'm really liking it. They've nailed the atmosphere. Story so far has been good, if a little cliche at times. A bit of a shame the FBI investigation side of things isn't more involved. It's just a matter of dragging clues to the correct spot on the case board, which is true. Like, it feels fun because I like being a detective.
Yeah.
But you're not really solving anything.
I agree. I think it's a cooler idea than like what it's actually used for. Same with when you're Alan, he's got like a storyboard thing.
Yeah. Right.
And you can sort of influence the world by changing elements of the story in different scenes. But it's not very in depth and the same thing as the other one where like it's a cool idea that is then like pretty
sort of
pretty flat. Shallow, I guess.
Yeah, sure. You basically just do it like it's a list of things that you just check off.
I'm glad they're in there for the way the game figures out how to use them.
Right. Combat feels more weighty compared to the first game. Hate the jump scares. They're cheap and they always get me, lol. They are cheap.
Sounds like it's money well spent.
They always get me, but I personally, I thought it scared me and that's what I was trying to do. Migsy Matosis says, went in based on how much I love Control and to put my new graphics card through its paces. I felt very represented by the first character you control in the game, which is good. Builds tension well, but resorts to some cheap jump scares, IMO. Delightfully weird and so confidently delivered, as you said, Nox. Polar opposite to how I feel when Kojima does it.
It's the same. It's real Kojima shit, but you're right that I don't think Sam Lake has the same thing of, what would you call it, a god complex? Not enough Norks. Where are all the bazungas?
That's true. There's no Norks. There's
what if
no...
that's the extra content that's coming down the pipe?
Oh, a little guest director, little spot by Kojima.
Little beach volleyball.
I've been shaking my controller this whole time and nothing's happening on the screen.
Tolkien Taters, regular contributor.
Yeah.
I just finished Alan Wake 2 and loved it. Probably going to be my game of the year. It's refreshing to see a big game willing to get this weird and creative. It's definitely not going to be everyone's cup of tea with the extreme focus on meta-narrative and some cheesy moments, but it worked for me. I do agree the jump scares are often excessive and ineffective. And that, I guess, once they happen every 3 seconds, they do wear off a little bit.
I think that's my issue with them in
movies
and
stuff. I didn't even notice
them
off.
Yeah,
like,
right.
To be honest, it wasn't something that jumped out at me. I had a real-life jump scare while I was playing it because I've got the plugs behind my where I sit, behind the desk.
Yep.
They're on the wall.
Yep.
Okay.
Like kind of midway up the wall, that style of plug.
Mm-hmm.
and I was playing a real dark bit.
Yeah.
And a fucking huge fucking ass huntsman ran up the cord that was like going from the thing to the floor, went faster than I've ever fucking seen one move.
This is like the 4D cinema.
Oh, dude, my chair was fucking shaking.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting sprayed by, oh no, that's me. I've done the monkey in the mouth thing.
The bazoombas are in this.
it fucking really spooked me.
Man, I was just hearing creaks in my apartment and getting scared. I would have died.
This was one of those ones that's so big you can hear its feet going as well. You can hear it going.
Yeah. Yucky. I think my issue with the jump scares
an old, like, you know, the big rack of like blank CDs.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got one of them as the cup I use to get them out of the house.
Oh, sure.
Because it's big enough to cover almost any spider.
Yeah, and in Australia, some spiders are like literally bigger than the span of your hand.
They're a big palm ass thing. So you get they're so fresh 98 CD size. So that's little tip for any Australians out there.
Mm. I agree though. Like generally speaking, with jump scares in movies, I just really feel like I want to be scared by a premise or a concept or something that's going on. It doesn't even need to be like the gore or anything, just like a mental thing of like, oh yeah, God, imagine being locked in there. You know, just it's just something jumping out and it's, you know, the jackass character in the group of friends putting a mask on. It's so weak. Like if that's the only thing that truly scares you about something, then it's like, well, this is a dud.
It's a surprise more than actually being scary.
And I get, every horror film has to have like one of them, but doing it repeatedly is a bit like, eh.
I think this does have some scary, like disturbing concepts in
it
too.
Sure, that seems, it seems a little more bedded in,
That's maybe why it feels cheap, because it's like, you guys can make a scary
game.
It's
scary.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is just be immune to it because you're so brave, like me. Until a spider shows up and then you squeal.
Is from Darren, who says, "This game above others made me realize that good media transcends its medium. Similar to Utopia, the UK show, not the Australian mockumentary.
Workplace sitcom.
And Dark.
Oh, Limo.
Ah! Season 5. What? How?
It's back after so long.
Dark, the German Netflix show.
Okay.
Which True Detective Season 1, I think, are big, big influences on this stylistically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dark, I think the plot is quite similar. I'm finding that I'm suspending my disbelief far more than with other games or movies. And I think there's that level of immersion, right? Where if you're in the game or if you're in the experience and you feel some sort of connection to the character, you are able to overlook some, immersion breaking things.
I mean, people were able to get kind of hooked in and immersed and scared by like Resident Evil 1 on the PS1 originally, when that was just like a square with a little scary face drawn on it.
Yeah. The level of cheese in that too is like so. And I think that's for me with the cheese thing, which I don't disagree with, but I also like didn't bug me at all because it's so focused and I want to think of a different thing than self-assured. You know what I mean? It just knows what it's doing. It's got this like real enthusiasm and gusto to it that is like captivating to me when that stuff's being done.
It's a cacio e pepe. It's all cheese, but you gobbled it up.
Not all cheese.
It's not all cheese.
It's a lot of cheese.
There's a layer of cheese.
There's pasta in there.
Which you'd want in a sandwich.
Well, honestly, and there's butter as well and some pepper.
It's more cheesy at the start. I feel like it gets into some like genuinely, you know, disturbing imagery and concepts. But the
way it delivers them is great too. Mm. When like some stuff later on, like the way it reveals what is happening to you.
Right.
Like literally just like, oh, it seems like there's a ghost here. That it's like, but why is the ghost here?
Right.
But I think it starts off being a little bit more, there are more clunky lines that I think are just generally a bit underwritten, like they could have used a second draft.
Sure.
Which is a shame for them to be so front-loaded.
Some of that I do feel is somewhat deliberate. Whether that works for you or not is a second thing. But
I think they're deliberately trying for something, and I think that they are not succeeding at it. But I also, that can be a matter of taste.
Yeah, I felt that it worked in a way that I can't. I guess Baldur's Gate 3 is so different, but in terms of like a story in a game and the way it's presented and all that sort of element of it, not necessarily like oh, get a load of how this is the most genius story ever, but just in the terms of a story being delivered really well, I think this might be my favorite one of this year.
Ooh.
Of
this year.
In a way.
Yeah, I think it is for me, even though it's like a really well delivered. And it's like it's the thing of like, if this was a movie or a TV show, it would be like getting eviscerated for being so derivative. But it's not. It's a game.
And I mean, so there you get that benefit. Even if all we're doing is making Twin Peaks the video game.
Yeah, cool. Yes,
totally. And I did see a lot of that really like early 2000s or late 90s type of like scrappy team making like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if type of feeling to it. You know what I mean? So it doesn't feel like it's through a lack of creativity to me. It comes across like it's through a like excitement at like, oh, we could make our version of this.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of people like writing reviews, user reviews and stuff on, you know, wherever, being like, I'm a big Twin Peaks fan and it was so cool to see Twin Peaks the game.
Right.
I felt fully like I was actually getting to experience this as the protagonist. So that's cool. And I just, it's just an interesting thing that like, even I'm not judging it like literally as if it was a TV show that was ripping off Twin Peaks. I've like given myself over to it and understand that it is like in a different bucket, a different category of media.
And it's transformative to find a different way to do it as well, because it's doing some of that stuff, but then it's got this other angle to it. And like the fact that it's this sequel to a kind of not that successful game from 13 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
And then it ties in with this other game. Like, that stuff is all really cool.
There was something else. Oh, the fucking power goes off at a lot of places.
Yeah, they don't have good generators out in Bright Falls.
Yeah.
Bad name for it.
Yeah, honestly, kind of ironic, really.
It's almost like darkness has fallen rather than brightness.
I remember, was Redfern Electrical made by Remedy as well? Because maybe that could be the next shared universe.
Fuck,
they
threw Redfern
in. Get Shank in there.
It could be Redfern, Twin Peaks, Bright Falls. It's all
connected. Pretty, yeah. Wow. Crookshank's playing the long game here. Look up Redfern Electrical on YouTube if you know what that is.
I recommend this. I think, I said in the chat, like, I'll always appreciate an ambitious, if not fully cohesive, or you know, like there are flaws, but like again, if this was a movie, I'd give it a really high recommendation, because nothing can be perfect about anything.
And
like, I mean, not everything can be perfect about anything.
It's so rare for something to have this much heart to it. A game,
right?
For a game to have this much, like just like real
vision,
joy how it's making itself. Not that it's a joyful game, but you know what I mean? Like, you can tell there's so much investment, like artistically.
Yeah, that thing where you can like kind of almost see back to an idea being chucked up on the whiteboard and everyone getting really excited and being like, oh yeah, could we do that? That would be awesome.
Yeah. I feel like that comes through a lot in this. And that was the thing that really just had me in a good mood with this.
Cool.
Yeah. Also, he's named Awake, and the other protagonist is called Story, basically. So it's high level shit.
I can't wait to go in. Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to playing this. This sounds great.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, that's going to do us for this week. Next week we got that new WarioWare game, Move It, and we've also got Jusson.
Yes,
Jusson.
Jusson, and I'm going to give City Skylines 2 a crack, even though it may be a bit dodge.
The stuff I've seen, it doesn't work very well, and part of it is because like they've rendered individual teeth on the people walking around the city, and it's like fucking up how it runs.
I gotta say,
they got too many chompers down there.
Worth it. Well, that's going to do us for this week. Come see me in Perth. If you're in Perth, I'm there this Friday, November the 3rd, 6:30 p.m. at Oasis Comedy Club. Or if you're not in Perth and you know people there, please pass the word along. I'd love to sell a few more damn tickets over in the West.
Get some W aliens in there.
Get some W aliens. You can come and do that, and then you can come up the road and see me do another gig with Cameron James, friend of the pod.
It'll be 9:30 here when he's doing it.
Yeah. Don't forget to wish me chookers at 9:15 p.m. Melbourne time.
I'm going to message you when I wake up here.
More dates?
More dates. November the 16th in Hobart, November the 23rd in Sydney, and November the 30th taping my special in Melbourne. Get along to that if you're going to be around.
I wanted to give a little plug to a gallery exhibition I saw.
Oh, yeah.
At Melbourne residents and Filth will know, B-Side Gallery, based on Tommy's previous exhibitions there.
Yep.
There is a cool exhibition there at the moment by an artist called Dr. Fugazi.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like, it's called, what's it called? Work is Hell.
Yep.
And it is sort of a Cuphead 30s Disney style art. And there are some cool video game elements to it that are worth checking out in person.
Yeah.
And I might even get buy a bloody print.
Oh my shit. God.
Yeah.
I buy a
art
printer.
Collector.
Yeah.
I just buy a printer and then make one myself, take a photo of it, okay. Print it out.
All right.
Up.
Yeah, yeah, that's the same.
Artists love that.
have a look in the... There'll be links to Tommy's stuff in the description too. If you send me some links, I'll put them in the description.
Okay.
So will there be some?
So if you well, look at the description and they're not there, you know.
Go to TommyDaslow.com,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there you go. That's
yeah,
the
don't
one.
Look in the description. Yeah. Go to TommyDaslow.com.
Yeah, that's... I made that website. So it's a big collab.
Yeah. Yeah, check all that stuff out. Get on our Patreon.
Yeah.
You can find that at filthycasuals.com.au. You get an extra episode from us every week where we talk about movies and TV shows and anything that's not video games that we've been consuming. We've got the video episodes on YouTube. We've got the Let's Plays on YouTube. We're going to start cranking out more video stuff soon.
Yes.
Of us playing stuff, which
back
we haven't done for a while.
Back to some playing, yeah.
Get on that, subscribe to that and be ready for all that new stuff that's coming down the pipe from us. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
I'm working on a character. He writes, he's a tortured writer. He writes erotic novels. Mm. His name is Christopher Get it?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.